Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Modesto.
I'm Reed.
And we are back, girls. It's like back to back, 2 weeks in a row, baby. We're doing it.
Back again. And like,
we're adrenaline. I'm Shangela. Say what?
Oh, I thought, I don't know why. Oh, you said adrenaline. I was thinking of Rush, the new single by Troye Sivan.
I feel the rush, addicted to your touch. I will say this about this single before we get into my opinion. Mm-hmm. I hate the TikTok trend of like making songs to under 3 minutes, which we all knew Rush was going to be that, but Troye Sivan's never done that. He's always been a 3+ minute girly.
I don't get why they have to be under 3 to be a TikTok song, because can't you just like, TikToks are like 15 seconds. So why can't you just find like, why can't a TikTok be 15 seconds of a 4 minute song?
I don't know, but I will say I wish there was another verse or two in there, but I'm going to go out this weekend, I think, for the first time in a long time since Pride. In a long time, hear me. But
a long time.
A long time. Since like 3 weeks. But I really just want to hear like Rush in a gay bar with some poppers in hand. And like, I'm not a popper. I don't love poppers. They give me a headache and they make me like very hot and not into them. But for Troye Sivan, why not?
I think the Twink Sivan song is good. It's a little gay bop. I'm not a hater, but that's what a hater says before they start to hate. I just feel like on gay Twitter there is this echo chamber that causes everybody to like up the level of intensity and excitement for things that don't quite deserve that level of intensity and excitement. This is not like, and you know, I'm not even a Swiftie, but this is not like a Taylor Swift single. This is not an Ariana Grande single. This is Troye Sivan, which he's good. The song is cute, but like, it's not like the best song I've ever heard in my life. And I literally, my timeline today has just been faggot after faggot after faggot saying, oh my God, I'm so horny. The music video is making me so horny. It is not making you so horny. He is literally shirtless, dancing and drinking a beer. Like, it's like
he's, I
like,
do looks, I love his little like
sexy. Everyone's like,
I love his little gay shimmy.
No you don't. No,
I
you
do
don't.
I haven't watched the music video yet, but I do, you know, I love a twink. Well, I'm also chronically horny.
Yeah, you're chronically horny and you love twinks. But I saw someone tweet, they were like, the doorway into the Rush music video, and it was like a door that was like literally 2 inches wide, like a like only Gumby could fit through it. Like, it just like, you had to be a twink to fit into the
set. I'm a massive Troye Sivan fan though, like since like when Blue Neighborhood, before that came out, that first EP that he had, the house one. I've like always been obsessed with Troye. I just feel like he was like the first like male music artist, like other than like Drake, but the first like gay one that I was like, oh, I love this guy. And yeah, like
Ollie,
a lot of
whatever
his
name is, from Years and Years.
Oh, I love Years and Years.
They're kind of kind of like the multiverse versions of each other, you know.
Yeah, one's and like UK, one's not.
Sam Smith.
Know? Well, he's they
are interesting right now. I will say that with Sam Smith, I love how I always reference Twitter. It's like my encyclopedia. I saw a tweet, shocker.
Well, it's like me and TikTok.
And it was like Sam Smith. It was the, how do you sleep when you're me? That. And they said, it's hard to believe their stands turned on them in this era.
Because that was an era. That was a bop. It and the Normani song was good.
And that was when they did start to get. And that was when they started to like get a little gayer. Like they were voguing a little bit. They were wearing some glitter. But they weren't full faggot. They weren't full queer yet at that time. And I think everyone was starting to turn on them a little bit. And I agree with the author of that, because it's like, we didn't know what we had. Like,
we didn't.
Like the words of Kyle, we were all so happy that day.
We should have been.
Little did we know how horrible things would soon become. And I'm not here to hate on Sam Smith, because honestly,
it feels like you are.
I think Unholy was kind of a bop. I'm not gonna lie.
I will hold to this day and say Unholy was a bop. That era of Sam Smith was a bop. The How Do You Sleep, with that, all of that, mm-hmm. the Normani, all that, those singles, all that was such a great era to me. I think where they lost it was trying to provoke shock value.
That's what I'm over.
And when the new, honestly, when the music wasn't it, as good.
Lil Nas X too. Like every performance doesn't have to be like fucking somebody on stage to prove a point to straight people. Like,
right.
Madonna did that already. So Madonna, Madonna did that so that we didn't have to, you guys.
But also you can have like this, you have this Troy single, which is overtly sexy, but isn't like, I'm doing this for shock value. And it has nothing to do with their weight or their background or anything of that. There's not that, because I know people are going to try to pit that against each other and differences of Sam Smith and Lil Nas X.
In like just baggy pants in a warehouse, drinking a beer and dancing. It's like not that provocative. And
it's I'm not fucking the devil like Sam, like Lil Nas X is, or I'm not like, you know, whatever Sam Smith is doing.
Too. No, it's like maybe that's kind of what I'm trying to say is that like the timeline today has been like, oh my God. And I'm like, why are y'all gagging? She brings it to you every ball.
Oh, I will say this. My cousin came into town and we took her to one of our favorite gay bars in New York, and she was having some party favors, as the girls do, in the bathroom. And there was only one other person in that bathroom.
Rice Krispies.
And it was Sam Smith was in the bathroom with her. And she was like, I should have offered them some of the party favors. And I said, Mama, I don't know. They probably would have done them. Yeah, Sam Smith was like, oh, I love your top. And she was like, oh, I love the toga you're wearing. And then she looked up and was like, oh, that's Sam Smith. When I tell you there was maybe all of 20 people in this bar on a Thursday night, and we were 10 of the 20 people, and the other 10 were Sam Smith's entourage. And they had left because the drag queen started like, you know, playing up to the fact that Sam Smith was in the crowd. And they had left right after that. But anyways, nonetheless, I will say Rush is a bop. And I think we should get into...
That's my...
I have to say, I love that transition you just did, Mo, because I could have talked for another 30 minutes about pop music, and Mo didn't even give me the opportunity. He's like, and with that, we should transition to.
I saw the look in your eye, and that.
No, it's okay.
Sad.
We can move on.
I'm ready to go down. But
it's not about twinks on this broadcast. It's about Bravo.
I know, but I do love that we've been like branching off into music. Like, we got a lot of DMs about the Taylor stuff and how we went into that whole thing in Beyonce last time. And at the end of the day, this is also like a pop culture podcast.
Is a pop culture podcast. It's like, if you love Bravo, you probably love pop culture in general. But I will say, this is probably a good time, Mo, to plug the Patreon, because that is kind of where we're going to talk at length and in more detail about things that may or may not be Bravo related. And so I'm really excited to say we posted two new episodes this week to the Patreon, and then I had one a couple weeks ago. So there are three fresh, hot off the press, new bonus Patreon episodes. If you would like to go subscribe and support the show, a few weeks ago, I did a recap of Selling Sunset season 6 on Netflix with my friends Mikey and G. And then this week we hit you with a double homicide. Homicide one was Mo sitting down with his ex-Mormon boyfriend who
I thought you were gonna say his ex. I'm like, I live with this man.
Ex-Mormon.
That's my boyfriend.
And yeah, ex-boyfriend. And ex-Mormon boyfriend, not ex-boyfriend. And Coulson. And they Mo exposed them to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City for the very first time, and they had some hilarious commentary and just also some really
interesting commentary yeah, about on leaving the Mormonism
it was so
which is all stuff that I knew obviously throughout our relationship, because I thought it was such a fascinating thing. I literally knew nothing about like the temple or any of that stuff, and Coulson is like told me so much, and like when he left the church and the age that he left,
learning a lot.
Yeah, it's so when he was telling
I think the History Channel should be shaking in their boots, because the It's About Bravo Patreon is coming for their crown. And then later this week it was a girl's night out, cute Charlie XCX, because it was just Maddie and Annie, our two iconic friend ofs, who by the way have never been on the mic together. They've never been in the same even Zoom room together. They've never been in a group chat. Maybe that's not true, but we're just gonna go with it. And
I started a group chat with them. That's how we got the episode.
Well, either way, coordinated. Maddie and Annie joined forces without any of us. and they talked all about Below Deck Sailing Yacht season 4, which just wrapped up this last week. I'm like way behind, but I did start it and I love it. And so that is like some fun Bravo tease as well that they're doing there. We've got a Roni rewatch coming up that Zach has been doing. And then we had so many ideas. I think
you're doing All Stars 8 with Maddie.
Maddie and I will do All Stars 8 once it wraps up next week. My brother, actually, if anyone's interested in meeting my also gay brother, he is currently on
double homicide.
Yeah, seriously, to my mom. he is watching Real Housewives of Atlanta for the very first time right now, and he's on season 5. And I just restarted my Atlanta rewatch after taking quite a long time off. I started season 10. I just have to say, and so we're going to do like a rewatch episode on that too. But like, let me just wrap up the Patreon thing and say, Mo, I just saw for the very first time in my life, Nene's Girls Plus Gays, All White, Never Forget, Party, Seafood Soiree.
The Seafood Soiree is really the kicker there. And obviously we all know we've referenced like you already, on the podcast
she already, it already
so
said
much.
Party. Like it was party. I was added seafood soiree.
Girls and gays, all white party seafood soiree.
No, you're missing something. It was girls and gays, all white. Never forget party seafood.
Party soiree. Seafood.
All soiree. The girls are like, never forget what?
Never and forget. Then,
like, one of the gays who I rolled my fucking eyes at this bitch. He tried to say, I think it was like maybe to Cynthia or Kenya. He was like, you know, as a gay man, it was a little offensive. Like, what am I? Just like you're plus one.
It was Derek, right? Derek, what was his name? One of those gays.
Because I'm like, girl, that is
what the one that did the wigs. The wigs. He used to
objectify me. And I love it. I want to go to a girls and gays, all white, never forget party, seafood soiree.
And that's where we get the iconic. Is that Kim Zolciak?
Is that Kim Zolciak?
Is that Kim Zolciak? What in the hell? Oh my God!
Oh my God! It is.
Oh my God! You invited Kim.
And then she pops out in a little weird, which will transition into our later Atlanta recap because Kim Zolciak.
Actually, that was a great primer because I think that was the last time or season that Kim was on before this latest episode that we'll get into in a little bit. So yeah, lots going on.
Yeah, the last
subscribe to the Patreon, support our show. I'm watching Atlanta.
I'm going to do, if you loved my boyfriend on the Salt Lake City episode, we are going to do Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Lesbian Gate with Denise and all that stuff, because it is kind of prevalent right now with the Kyle stuff going on. So I think it's really interesting. And he thinks it's really interesting. And he started watching it without me, actually. And he said, babe, surprise, I started watching. And I said, oh, my God, I got you in. Anyways, let's get into some tea. Speaking of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, mama, cameras have picked up. Once again,
cut the cameras and then uncut them because
cut the cameras dead ass. As
Kyle started scissoring and they said, don't cut the cameras.
They said,
you can cut anything else, Kyle, but don't cut that camera cord.
Someone has been, anyways, it didn't land, but here we are.
I thought it landed.
Someone in our DM said, you know who's been really quiet? Dorit. Dorit has not been posting really.
I know.
And I want to know, is there something a brewing between Dorit and Kyle? Like, is that friendship still there as strong as it is? Because I don't know. Like, she hasn't posted anything lately. The last thing she posted was happy birthday to Rena and to Erica, I think.
When was that? But,
this week.
Maybe she's on All Stars. Maybe she went to film.
She went to go film All Stars 12.
And then she comes back and says, I got hacked. Sorry, I wasn't here for 2 weeks.
Literally, she's going to do the candy.
Dorit on All Stars.
I'm into the end.
She comes in with the wind chime. I think...
with the wind chime.
My theory is...
Girls, it is so chic.
That didn't land.
Is that Dorit?
Talk about not landing. Is that Dorit Kinsley? And it would be like Alyssa Edwards... I think ever since Dorit changed her hair color to brunette, Kyle just hasn't been fucking with her. I think the reason Kyle loved her was because they were the brunette and blonde combo.
I think that there's maybe, what if Dorit's the one that like brings it up? I don't know. We're just playing right now. We're doing Reed's favorite game of like thinking of plots and twists right now.
Why is that my favorite game?
Bitch, you love a motherfucking like plot twist. You love cast change ups. You love sitting at the board throwing this girl up here and this girl up here.
I was gonna say, what do you mean? Are you talking about conspiracy? Who loves conspiracy?
You love theory? Yeah, you I'm love not, a conspiracy theory,
girl. You know, pot kettle over there, Miss Swifty.
Okay,
what,
fuck off.
What sign did y'all see today that told you that XYZ okay, in XYZ?
In the I Can See You video, when she's leaving the bridge, it says,
joking. Holy shit.
It says 1989. It says, did you watch the I Can See You video?
No, I don't even know what that is.
From the vault. There's a music video that she just dropped. The I Can See You.
Okay.
Anyways, in that music video with Taylor Lautner and them, once she escapes the vault, they're leaving under a bridge and the big bridge on top. If you zoom in really tight, it says they're going into 1989 TV.
We all knew 1989 was 1989 actually should have been before Speak Now, because she already put Wildest Dreams out.
I know, but she's in that lawsuit with 3LW.
Oh, okay. So, wow. How did we get on to Taylor Swift again?
Well, anyways, Beverly Hills, they're filming again. They picked up cameras. What I'm hoping for is that we get to sit down with Kyle, Kim, and Kathy. Or yeah,
we've never seen the Three Stooges together on camera.
No, we haven't. And I think that this is the time, because we know Kim has filmed this season a few times. And I think with all this drama, she's also been really close with Kyle again. And there's pictures of Kyle, Kim, Kathy, and Morgan Wade. So what if they're like, girl, let's sit down and talk about it. And you know, the whole thing, the fight between Kyle and Kathy, other than Big Kathy and putting them against each other as children, is the loss or the real estate drama and Mauricio leaving the real estate company that Rick Hilton had and taking a lot of the clients and starting the agency. So,
and then getting his own show on Netflix.
Yeah. And that's a lot of forget that Kaya Kathy's never let that go. She never has. And I think if she's leaving Mauricio, it's kind of like, oh, you know, let's mend forces and fences now. And I think that we could definitely get a scene with them. I think that we're going to get like some Kyle picking up the pieces. Garcelle's like released a statement and she was at a red carpet or something or another, I think at a premiere.
Did you see Garcelle's Barbie commercial, by the way?
Yes, I did. It was so cute.
I was gagging.
Garcelle's like, just become such a
and
mother.
And she looked so good in it. Like, I knew it wasn't her styling herself in that commercial.
Well, or her, it's her assistant who also doubles as her stylist. Mm. And yeah, that's the problem. You can't have people wearing two hats here. You know what's successful about the Kardashians? They don't have people wearing two hats. Everyone has a different hat, and it's the same people that are have those hats for a very long time. You can talk a lot of shit about the Kardashians, but they've always kept the same team.
Wear a hat too long, it starts to stink though.
You know what? Just like Caroline Manzo said, you hang around garbage long enough, you start to stink. Yeah, and when I said you a garbage, I meant you a garbage. Anyways, okay.
This is a good episode. I'm having a great time.
I'm here.
Okay, so what else do we need to talk about? And that's my opinion.
Pump Rules. So Pump Rules, they picked up cameras
Emmy
again.
Emmy
nominated.
Pump Rules, mind you.
That's wild. So this is, if I'm not mistaken, the first Bravo non-competition show that has been nominated for an Emmy. It's like Housewives style show. So I think maybe like My Life on the D-List or one of those. So it's nominated in the unstructured reality category. It's up against Selling Sunset, which is fab. And
it wins though.
Yeah.
What
and
else?
It's also in the editing category, which I think is amazing. But which leads me to this next thing. Atlanta season 9, never Emmy nominated. New York, Beverly Hills early seasons, never nominated. It was because the Emmys always like highbrow Bravo and they were like, nah, we're just gonna nominate Top Chef and Project Runway. Rachel Levis.
Queen behavior. Honestly, I was thinking about it, and as fucked up as what she and Tom did was, do you think like they're somewhat thankful? Because if they hadn't done that, this would not be their life right
this
now.
Show, I was in the Swifty group chat on Twitter, and Elvis mistakenly sent something about Bravo into this group chat. Then all the girls started talking Bravo. And a lot of the girls were like, well, no way Rachel can come back. Like, fuck her. And I'm like, yeah, but this show was on life support, guys. On life support. before that slutty bitch opened her fucking legs and gave us an empire. There's spinoffs now. There's things happening. So Raquel is playing hardball, allegedly. She's filmed some scenes, but the cast trip is coming up. And Bravo wants her on the cast trip, but she's negotiating more money, which, as she should. Listen, if I'm going to ruin my life and my mental health, y'all better be paying me. The check better be fat. So, first cast trip is coming up. Kristen Doty filmed last night or two nights ago, and she wore the iconic green dress, which is wild to me. She's really leaning into that comeback story, Miss Doty. And we have, I feel like Jackson and Brittany are going to pick up soon. We're going to get them filming some scenes. I think they have to, how long is this storyline going to last of the Scandoval thing? We got a preview of Sheena fighting with Tom outside of Sir. There's a lot going on. Their trip is to Lake Havasu or one of those places they always love going to. One or the other.
We need like a subplot to begin so that by the time Raquel and by the time Scandoval is dead and dusted, we have a new dragon to slay. I think that dragon could be either James's girlfriend, what's her name, Allie, or it could be involving her. She might not be the villain, but maybe she begins to take a more central role somehow. That would be kind of fun.
I think that there's been a lot of her filming. I think she could probably be full-time this season or next. I feel like she really is kind of coming into her own. We all said she was a whistleblower. She had a great little 8-minute segment at the reunion. I'm excited for the future of her. I don't think we need new characters. I think let's bring back the old faces like we have been. I think the fact that Kristen has filmed again is great. I would love to see a confessional from Doty. I would love to see her sitting down with that cocktail in hand,
seated,
spilling this shit, seated, because I'm going to be seated for it. That's absolutely sure. But what's wild to me is like we're getting so many leaks about it now, which we never got before, which kind of annoys me because I really want it to be more of like the old days where shit was shocking, which made Scandoval such a big thing because it really was shocking because none of us saw it coming. And I think we need more of that. Like, I don't really want I don't need to see all these leaks. I don't even know who's filming when and what's going on this and that. And anyways, what else we got? Oh, the New York taglines.
Oh, yes. Should we play those?
Should we play a clip?
Let's play a clip.
Let's play a clip.
The secret ingredient? Darling, it's me.
My lashes may be fake, but I definitely keep it real.
I'm a true New Yorker. The only bull I'll take is by the horns.
I always bring the flavor. It's not my fault you don't have any taste.
In New York, there's a lot of bad apples, but I'm the baddest of the bunch.
I love to laugh, but make me mad, and I'll date your dad.
Okay, what do you think of the taglines? At first, I was like, huh? And then I was like, And then I was like, oh, this is good.
The only one I honestly remember is my mother Brenn's. What did she say?
The delivery on that is,
you make me mad, to laugh, but I'll date your dad.
She is such a
Barbie doll. Like, she is a Barbie doll.
Coming for the crown of like hottest housewife. Like,
hot.
She's
like,
coming up there.
Portia is gonna have to.
Yeah, I was
really
gonna say Portia is.
Portia, stand up. Portia, get up behind me.
Because don't make me call.
We need to protect Portia. Don't make me call Portia.
Don't make me call Portia. Gee.
Don't make me call Brennan.
It works.
Yeah, Bren is so hot. Like, okay, here's my thing. I have been very hesitant. I've been very reluctant. I haven't really I've said on the podcast, like, oh, I'll be positive about it. But deep down, deep in my soul, I have just felt like this was going to crash and burn and it was going to be kind of like Dubai. But
Reed hates Dubai, guys.
I know.
Also, where the fuck is Dubai, though? Where is it? They filmed so long ago.
No one's asking. You're the only one on the planet who's like, where's Dubai? No one has thought that question. Okay, so because the thing about Dubai is they're all really, really pretty, you know? Sure. And it's like, that's all they really have to offer, at least so far for me. So I was and still am a little bit worried about Roni doing that as well, because they're just like dolls. And it's like, are you too polished? Like, where's the Ramona kookiness? Where's the turtle time? Where's the Bethany Jaws? Where's the Luann arrest, being a countess? But you know what? I understand that for this to really succeed, it really can't hold on to the trappings of the past, because if it does, we're just going to compare it. And we're going to be like, well, that Luann moment wasn't as good as if Luann had done it. That Sonia moment wasn't as good. So maybe they do have to kind of forge their own new path. But I need like Beverly Hills level drama and iconery. Is that so much?
I think
to
that's
ask?
What Andy was saying. Like, it's a new show. They're new women. They have new personalities. Speaking of Dubai, I saw somewhere that, I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw that Uba and Chanel Ayan are like distant cousins.
Oh my God. That's kind of dope. Wait, we need to do, okay, you said you love when I do my little, or I love doing my little castings.
Oh God.
Here we go.
Here she goes.
Let's do Ultimate Girls Trip. Ultimate Girls Trip cousins, and it's like Whitney and Heather.
No one needs to see those two on another trip anywhere.
No, let's do Ultimate Girls Trip family feud or something like that, and it would be like Kyle, Kim, and Kathy, Whitney and Heather,
Melissa and Teresa,
Uba, yeah, Teresa and Melissa, Caroline, Jacqueline, and Dina. And then Chanel and Uba. Is there anybody else I'm missing who's related to each other in any Housewives franchise? Like, let's just think this through for a minute. I feel like there is someone we're forgetting.
I don't know, but I think, I mean,
Cynthia, listen, and her sister. Her sister can come.
No. We got to get Portia and her sister. I love Lauren.
Portia and her sister.
I love Lauren. She's iconic. But Uba, you know, what's funny is, like, as someone who's met Uba in person like 3 times already and worked with her for like hours at a time, she has that like Chanel Ayan kookiness. Like, she's truly kooky. And like, it's, I was like relating it to Sonia Morgan because that was like the most Roni energy. But then like thinking back now, I'm like, oh, she really does have that like Chanel kind of vibe, which she's stunned.
They're like models. They're tall.
She was weird.
Yeah, they both seem, well, I know Chanel Ayan's fucking weird. Uba does seem a little bit kooky to me.
She was really kooky. She told me I was hot like 18 million times, which I loved every second of. And she like kept like trying to touch my arms, like, oh, your tattoos.
Let her touch.
And no, she was like such a bad boy. I was like, okay, girl.
It's like touched by an angel, but it's touched by a housewife.
I would live. Back to the, and I'll date your dad. It's like, she almost had like a country inflection with it. And I was like, I am standing hard.
She was like an executive assistant to somebody, and she moved to New York for this show. That's iconic.
That's iconic as fuck.
And I don't want to hear anybody say that makes her a fake Roni housewife or like she's not really New York, because I think part of the magic of New York City is that people come there. So,
and people, and you know what the magic is? People come and go.
Yeah, like easily. You have like people who
I've come and came to New York 10 times.
But most people,
no one opens the door
for a native New Yorker.
No one opens the door for a native New Yorker. Here I go. Oh.
If you guys don't know, we're doing the iconic Wendy Williams on The Masked Singer when she snorts and she's like, oh, here I go.
And she's just a giant set of red lips.
Oh my God, mother.
Anyway, so unless you're a native New Yorker, you're probably someone who came there for, you know, the experience or the magic or a job or opportunity. And that's kind of the beauty of it. So honestly, Bryn is that.
We all came here for something, listen. And can I not remind you that one of the most iconic, famous, one of my favorite New York housewives of all time, Miss Tinsley Mortimer, never truly lived here in the, like, she was a housewife for season 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13? No, 12. So what, 4 or 5 seasons? 5 seasons as a housewife and never lived in New York truly. Was in a hotel half the time, was in Sonia's townhouse first season, like, never lived here. Was if the show wasn't filming, that bitch was back in Palm Beach or Chicago with the Coupon King. And she gave us iconic moments and was never a New Yorker. So fuck it, Bryn is a New Yorker and an icon. Also, yeah. I saw this scene with on TikTok with Psy. It was like a preview of the first like beginning of it. And there was so much charm to her. She lived in this beautiful Brooklyn townhouse. And the way that she was just like, as someone who's Puerto Rican, like she was talking about doing the doobie, which is like, if you're a Puerto Rican woman, you know, it's or a Latina woman at all. It's like when you dye straighten your hair and you put it up.
Oh, that's
like,
not smoking a doobie.
No. It's like, it's, it's okay. Heather Dubrow, calm down. We'll get into that. But it's like when you straighten your hair and they put like a bonnet over it and they put it up in clips so the straightened hair stays. It's like my aunts and my sisters and my mothers, they all did it in my entire childhood. But just hearing about her talk about that, and she was like, I was a real around the way girl. Like I've been from Harlem, from Brooklyn, from Flatbush, and now I'm in this beautiful townhouse and like I have all this money now. And just like it was a really welcoming scene. And I was like, oh, I love this. And even like the creative liberty that they're taking with the tagline opening, it's totally a new opening. It's unlike anything we've seen before.
Is the red in the apple a slightly different color red too? It feels almost like it's brighter and it's popping a bit more, like it's more crimson.
Only your Rain Man ass would notice that. I did not notice that.
Yeah, like I was thinking like Roni, like it almost feels like everything's popping and a bit brighter, which I think would be intentional to kind of make it feel new.
I feel like that's they could totally be doing that. They're trying to do so many things like creatively that are making it feel new and fresh. Yeah. I'm honestly, guys, I'm going in optimistic and excited, and I'm going in with this is a new show. And I think, you know, when you mourn the death or the loss of a relationship, like they say, when you break up with somebody, it takes like half the amount of time that you're with them to get over them. Hmm. So I think I've been with Roni for a long time, so I'm still never going to be over the death of Roni. But I think I'm finally over the fact that my girls are gone and I can watch them on Peacock whenever I feel free, which I do quite often. And that is dead and gone. But there's a new era coming.
The old me's dead and gone. Dead and gone.
Anyway, child. Anything else we have for my opinion?
Yeah, a lot, actually. I'm not done talking about Roni. Jessel, did you see Page Six report 3 hours ago?
She reads like, I still haven't forgotten about the pop music in the beginning, bitch. I'm ready to go off about anything.
Jessel threw up all over the show's ritzy premiere party and was forced to leave early.
Honestly, that's old Roni behavior.
No, I tweeted it and said, they're taking it. Like, these ladies, I think they know what's at stake. And they're going to, I think we're going to get more mess than the trailer is like revealing.
I think so too. And they're going to pick it up next season.
Yeah. I feel like, well, even in between seasons, like throwing up at the premiere party. I feel like it's just, I think they're leaning into the kookiness. Who's the girl? I'm terrible with names. Who's the girl who looks kind of like Jennifer Aniston? She's standing right next to Bryn in the premiere party lineup. She had like the floral, you said it was like a floral matronly look. It wasn't Jenna Lyons. It was,
Erin.
Okay. That's mother for me. Like
she seems like she's going to be a vital part to the,
Bryn and Jessel to me feel like the three, like they're the ones standing in the middle of the premiere party photo. And it looks like three girls at my high school that would have bullied me and called me a faggot. And I mean that in the most complimentary way possible.
See, I think that the stars are going to be Erin, Psy, and Bryn are going to have the most, like, they're going to push the story the most forward. Jessel seems to have a lot of her marriage on the line, which is never good to lead in when it's your first season. Like, that's not great. Unless you're like Kristen Takeman, who left the show for her marriage and is still with that old geezer.
Psy, I feel like that she's giving me, what was her name on Dubai? The one that's not coming back.
Exactly.
She's giving me that.
Nina.
She's giving me Nina. I feel like...
No, but like even from the trailer, she was giving.
You know, at least one of them is going to drop like flies. Like,
you know
after
what?
Season
I have
one.
This. I have the... Yeah, true.
It happens with every premiere. It happens with every premiere season. There's some... Deshaun Snow? Anybody? Because I don't remember. And I didn't know honestly, who that woman was when she walked up to that table. I said, ma'am, 6 feet.
Ma'am. There's a filming of a show going on. Get out of here. Not the cater waiter coming up in a leopard dress. That was the restaurant manager coming in to ask how they were doing.
He was asking how they like their steak.
Anyways, no, but I mean, one already dropped. Lizzie dropped, remember? They had that whole drama.
That's right. But that was like over controversy. So I think.
I wonder if they're even going to bring that up, which I think they're just going to.
Weren't they filming with her? Did they cut all those scenes out?
She filmed a solid like 3-4 weeks. But anyways, I think that. Just imagine this, like the headlines, like
that's a lot of women for one season. Okay, sorry, continue.
That especially for a first season, like one of them drops and it's like Luann and Sonia join the Roni reboot next season, you know, full time, and we just like integrate them in, and then like Dorinda, friend of Ramona, makes an appearance, like, you know,
you're sounding like more like I thought the Swiftie levels of delusion and that your little brain could possibly concoct up. I never in a million years thought it would have gone this far off. The Delulu train that you think that this group of girls are gonna hang out with women that could be their grandmothers.
Okay, but what about like a Leah McSweeney? I've said this for so long. I always wondered
why she wasn't.
She makes the most.
Yeah,
she makes the most sense to me, and she knows how to play.
She would have been screaming at people from the get go. I think her and Bryn would have really had it out too.
I think that she would have had it out with a lot of them, and. Listen, I'm excited for Roni. Speaking of Roni, Rita's foaming at the asshole.
That's why
to talk about Crappy Lake.
Crappy Lake. You know what? Let's just play a clip.
Mayor?
Yes.
Where's the car?
The car is open with the open door policy.
The white one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Welcome, ladies. Hi. You guys are going to be staying with us.
All right.
That's right.
So you are the motel owner.
Correct.
Wow. Right. What is the official name?
The Benton Motel.
That's smart marketing. Do we think the air conditioning works? Mayor, I have a question for you. Does the air conditioning work in the car?
It wasn't operating yesterday.
Really?
So, you know, I'm begging for forgiveness.
Oh, my God.
That's how
Sonia,
typical motels are, yeah.
We got a problem. What happened? No AC in the car.
How is that possible? It's in 1985. We had AC in 85, didn't it?
Okay.
I'm obsessed. It is, I have not laughed harder. I've watched it more than once.
I'm like showing anybody who will. The last show that I was this obsessed with was Game of Thrones. I literally watched the first season of Game of Thrones like 12 times because I would just keep showing new people this amazing show. Well, that's what I'm doing with Crappy Lake. Plus the episodes are like 22 minutes long. But I literally, the first two episodes are on Peacock, you guys. Go watch, go boost the streams because we need our queens, Luann and Sonia, to stay on our screen. They are the funniest fucking duo. Like literally, it's like, you know, remember that, do you remember that cartoon show on WB, Pinky and the Brain?
Yes, of course I remember that.
Okay, so, Sonia is Pinky and Luann is the Brain. Like, Luann is so far out of the realm of not, what's the opposite of delusional? Is it lusional?
She's the one of the most delusional creatures of all time.
She's Delulu Ann. And she,
when she was flirting with that
mayor,
firefighter,
mayor,
Luann has never met a man that she is not convinced wholeheartedly wants to fuck her.
And he looked like someone. Okay. I'm sorry to say this.
But he was kind of hot. So,
no, he was not. He literally, the middle of his face looked like you pinched it in on Facetune.
Okay, but he was, out of all of those men, the hottest. I know that she, it wasn't just the humidity.
That's
Mama
saying
was
a lot.
Wet.
No, she the was humidity wet. Was fucking with her head. And Sonia over, so Luann will say the most like.
What did she say to him? She was like, so, do you like to party?
then it cuts to her like confessional and she's like, flirting is about eye contact, body language. And just subtle hints, and it cuts to her, and she's like, should we go to the gym? And then she starts lifting these weights, and her fucking biceps are like exploding, like bigger than
dude. Luann's body is when she was working out and making those sex noises in like the beginning of the first second episode. Fun. I was like, first of all, what the fuck? I had to put the volume down. I'm like, there's people home. Her body and her face, and she looks like a million fucking bucks. It is insane. Hot.
She's
also
really, really hot.
That the Grey Gardens disgusting mess that Sonia has in that hotel room. I know it stinks. When that man came in there and the vibrator was there, she's like, well, I use it on my back and I use it downstairs. And you know, that's not for you to see.
Sonia is so like, girl, it's giving hoarder.
It's giving hoarder. Also, I was thinking, like, they took a private plane, so I know that they packed some extras, some favors. If you saw that video with Kelly Dodd, she said that Sonia offered her a bump, allegedly, radio man, up control man, allegedly, in New York when they were out. And I know Sonia was off her rocker in that second episode when she took that man home and got in his car and was like, I want to see a big dick.
Oh, yeah. She wanted that man's Louisiana.
She took that inbred man who was not attractive at all home.
She was like, no, I'm not going to say it. All right. So Sonia and Luann, or Luann and Sonia, welcome to Crappy Lake. It's giving the simple life. Yeah.
They're so natural, it too.
My friend Mikey was saying, you know who else would be really good in this kind of format? The Kardashians. Who? The Kardashians. You know, and he was saying that he wants to see it be Kourtney and Kylie, the two most diva of the Kardashians. Can you imagine Kourtney and Kylie going to Benton, Illinois?
It's the thing though, with like,
Kendall would enjoy it too much. Kendall would be like, Samaritan.
She would thrive. She's such a lesbian. It's wild. I think that like the thing that makes Sonia and Luann so good is that they really have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And they aren't like, they're diving head first into this. When they were at those auditions and that girl was doing the fucking jigsaw, Luann was just like, there's so many talents, like everybody has something.
He's like, there's a talent in everybody, you just have to dig.
Yeah, I mean,
when the kid was like playing the little mouthpiece like on the unicycle and it cuts to Sonia, it's like not good either, and it cuts to Sonia and she's like, oh, this has got to be in. She's like recording it with her phone.
I cannot tell you guys how obsessed I am with this show. It is so funny. I went in with every expectation and they exceeded that.
It's clear that because this was originally a Peacock original and it got moved to the Bravo slate and we were all like, ooh, that must mean it's good. I think this is they're showing us why it got moved to primetime. Like, they know
this. And I think this could be like, it could be a running show. Season two, they put them in, like, it's like New York goes to work. Remember that? New York goes to Hollywood. New York goes to, she told me to break a leg. Can you believe that bitch told me to break a leg?
Is it worth $10,000? Hell yeah.
Is it worth it? Is it worth $10,000? Hell yeah.
So, yes. And I also think this is exactly what they need to be doing to, like, A, quench our Roni thirst. Because, like, you know, we are still mourning the loss of original Roni. And as the new Roni premieres, it's really nice to have Luann and Sonia, welcome to Crappy Lake, to sort of tide us over. And, you know, we're getting Ultimate Girls Trip 5 at some point, Roni Legacy. But I just want to see my Roni women continue to thrive like this.
Did you see, though, the Brandi Glanville interview with Gretchen Rossi, where she was talking about how Kristen Takeman was calling her and texting her from the Roni Season 5 Ultimate Girls Trip? And she was like, Brandi, nothing is happening. Like, these women are truly just on vacation. They're like giving a fuck you to Bravo. Like, they're taking the money and they're just not doing a single thing. And I'm like, oh no, that makes me scared. Because you know Brandy's gonna tell the truth. Brandy, one thing about Brandy, she's unhinged, but that bitch don't lie.
She doesn't lie, but she can only tell the truth based off what she's been told. And Kristen Teekman is so dumb that I like, she has the memory of a goldfish. She probably forgot about a fight 5 seconds after it happened. So maybe it's just the amnesia talking, baby. I don't know. I don't want to believe it.
We're not going to believe it. Guys, watch Crappy Lake. We're going to continue to cover it, in my opinion, because we are obviously obsessed with it. We're talking crappy. Let's get into the Real Housewives of OC, because now I'm enjoying this.
Kevin's balls are hanging out of his shorts.
I needed to focus, and then there's K-Dog's balls. I can't stop staring at it.
I'm taking it all in.
Take it in!
Let's go and put a low on Shannon and Tamara, who after 2.5 f***ing years are finally getting along. Like, I'm f***ing pissed.
Tamara started to talk about Jen's affair, and I got so upset and went to call you. But then Heather made me feel like I shouldn't be sharing these things with you. But then the next night, she started talking about how much can Travis take or something like that. I got pissed.
Ryan said, I'm gonna her.
Really?
This is not an accurate statement. If you're gonna talk, I'm coming for you.
Guys, OC, we're still in Montana. I was even loving the hijinks. We were texting about that man's balls showing, and I was...
The scrotum?
I was laughing out loud how Jennifer was like, it was a little purple, and I couldn't look away. And when Tamara, in the middle of it, was like, I'm just enjoying the view, and this guy was spread eagle, balls out.
It all started clapping. With Taylor being like, I could really go for some spaghetti and meatballs tonight. It was so because like it cuts to Jennifer and Tamara's cut scenes in there or confessionals, and they're like, I was so uncomfortable, it was so shriveled up. And but then it cuts to Taylor Armstrong and she's like, I couldn't look away.
She was living.
She's like, I'll suck. These lips were made for sucking.
Why don't you go blow up your lips some more?
Why don't you go blow a man with those lips some more? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm done.
It's the baby. It's just not landing again, guys. I'm kidding. As a gay man, we all know the shorts are short. And we've all had a testicle slip here and there. I remember one time I was talking to my sister and I was holding my niece. And this is when my niece was young. She was probably like 6 months. And I'm talking to my sister and she's just like looking at me, and I'm like, why are you looking at me like that? And she was like, your fucking balls are completely out. And I was like, oh, sorry.
If I were a girl, I would be, because I honestly for the longest time didn't know like fully what a vagina looked like. And so like if I ever accidentally saw a pussy, I kind of like looked a little too long because I was like, how does it all work down there? And like when I found
you were
out
like there, Lisa Vanderpump and Erica Jane
when I found out, no, literally,
I can see you go Pretty Little Puss.
When I found out that there are three holes. Like what? It's like a fucking, it's like its own fucking organism down there. So anyways, if I were a girl and I saw a pair of balls just hanging out of someone's pants, I would honestly be kind of intrigued about like, what do balls kind of, how does that work? But I will say, you know, his balls hanging out. I've been there. You've been there. A lot of us have been there. In fact, my worst story was sitting on my couch in shorts that I had no underwear on, and my little bear, the berries were hanging out and I didn't realize it. And my cat came up from underneath my couch.
Oh no.
Pawed my goddamn ball. Thank God. I thank God every day that her claws weren't out, because that would have truly, like,
I'm clenching my invisible pearls right now. I'm clenching my gold necklaces.
I'm clenching my actual pearls down there as I tell the story, because it's so uncomfortable. So with that said, this man, it would have been kind of funny if one of them would have taken their kayak paddle and just gave him a little smack, a little.
It's still wet. Get him for me.
Sorry.
Get him again.
Didn't see him there.
Get him another time. Whack him.
What if he was like, what if he was like into kink shame and he's like, do it again.
Do it again. Oh my God, I love that. I love a kink. Anyways, back to, there was a scene where Tamara was with Eddie. It was post Montana. And I was like, wow, the way that she is like just the best to do it. Like Tamara really is the GOAT of producing Housewives. Like, of course, her and Eddie have already had all of these conversations, and she was making it so seamless about how she was like, and he said he wanted to fuck me. And he's like, well, you know what? One of my friends told me, watch your wife. He has a reputation for fucking married women. And she was like, really? No way. Like, they are just, I was foaming at the mouth at this scene, because it was such a nothing scene, but it was like, you know that she is effortlessly moving this storyline along.
I like get it now. Like when you guys were talking, you know how I said after the first episode that like my takeaway was kind of like, all they do is walk around parks, sit on benches, and tell each other what they heard someone else say. And then you and Zach were like, Reed, that is like, or maybe it was Maddie, that is like quintessential house. Like, this is what started Housewives. And this is like, you know, every franchise has their like thing. And I feel like OC's thing is sort of this like Stepford Wives, White Picket Fence, everything seems good on the outside. Underneath the surface, there's all this dark, these dark, terrible secrets. And these women are just walking around public parks and then taking a break on a bench and being like, so Gina was saying, and it just creates this thing. And it honestly, like we've said it before, but like Housewives doesn't need to be Jen Shah getting arrested or Erica Jane and Tom Girardi. Like those things are fun. But
that's what's also making this season of OC so good, because we've been so accustomed to that, that it's like nothing needs to happen, but like
everything's happening.
There's so many layers to it. Cause like the Gina and the Travis stuff is stemming off of the, Jen and her, adulterous boyfriend who is clearly cheating on her every chance that he gets, when he's like, baby, I'd never fuck Tamra. I'd never send a dick pic to anybody but you. Like, that man is scum, garbage, girl. And he fucking anybody and anything who can walk. And I can guarantee you that it's men and women. Anyways, but like Gina and that whole thing where Shannon was like, Gina, you know, I'm sorry if I like wasn't siding with you. And she's like, no. But then her saying like, Heather's not my friend because Heather was basically spilling all my air, dirty laundry out. And it's like, no, Gina, everybody knows that you need to stop bringing this up with your current boyfriend, because he's a good guy. Like when they had that solo scene, I was like, oh, he's a really good guy. Like he seems nice.
I've never noticed how prominent her accent. Where the fuck is she from?
She's from Long Island or Staten Island.
She's like talking like this all the time, you guys.
She's like, Travis, would you really love me if I can't do it as well as you? Zach does it really well.
Jen, let's see, like, give me like a prompt. I tried telling Tamra that it was a bad idea to bring up what happened with Emily on the trip, but you know, I was really overruled. I just made that. I was just improvising.
You know what? I felt it, and I think you did really well. I think you
thank
landed.
Thank you. I pride myself on being a Gina Kirchen impersonator.
Honestly, if this doesn't work out, that's your next gig.
Welcome to
anyways.
I love to say, I'm like learning. I'm learning all the jokes, the memes. I didn't know Heather Dubrow was this annoying. Is this why they call her a fan?
You were so quiet. I don't know. I was like, Heather was. If you think she's this annoying now, like this is new age Heather, where she left the show for like 7 years or 8 years and came back and is like way less stuck up than she was. Cause like she never used to swear. Like now she smokes weed on camera. Like her rolling that joint and smoking it twice, or it was a pre-roll, I'm sure. But her spending almost $500 at the weed store, like, girl, mama, wild to me. And it's just like such a new age Heather Dubrow that I'm like, this is honestly interesting. What I'm scared of is, because Gina's turned on Heather now, we know Shannon and Tamra are turning on Heather, and it's like I think they're gonna run her off the show, and we need her there, like, because they need someone to fight with, they need someone to spar with, if you will. And her trying so hard to get into the Trace Amigas and it's not working, and once Vicky comes it's going to get even worse. And also, let us not forget that I think that there's infidelity rumors that they're going to bring up about her and her husband. That's going to be one of the storylines coming up in the season, and she's not going to like that. Fancy Pants is not going to like that.
You know, I feel like part of what makes it exciting is that we've got, like, I don't know if they're, I guess they're not really OG. Is any of them an actual OG?
No, Tamra came on season 3. It was just and so long
Shannon,
ago.
When did Shannon join?
Like season 8.
Oh, wow. And Heather?
Season 5.
Oh, so Heather's known Tamra longer than Shannon's known Tamra.
Yeah, a lot longer. Okay, I think Shannon actually might have come in season 9. 8 or 9. And yeah, Heather came in season 5, introduced by Tamra, because Tamra was a real estate agent who she might still be. I don't know. That was one of her storylines in like season 5. And she was selling a house to Heather. And that's how she was introduced to the group. And that was back in the day, like back in the day. Speaking of back in the day, Megan King Edmonds, famous housewife who uncovered Brooks's cancer storyline, queen icon mother, was on Watch What Happens Live. And she was talking about how Louis is a piece of shit and how he reminds her of Brooks. And I was like, oh, wow, she's mothering. I would love to see her back in the mix, because she's so good.
So I don't know anything about OC. I don't know. I couldn't I couldn't point any of the former ladies out except for like Vicky and a few others. And like, I didn't know who that was. And you guys were all like gagging in the group chat. Like, she looks so good. And she does look amazing. I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
And then they started like showing old photos of her. And I was like, that is not the same girl. She done did a Larsa Pippen because that nose isn't the same nose.
No, her like, brother's also really hot. You probably, he's like a famous Twitter gay. Wait. She came on the scene. RJ King is his name.
Typing it in now.
So her name, Megan King is her name, but she was Megan King Edmonds. She was married to Jim Edmonds, famous baseball player. She was brought on the show by Heather.
Oh, he is hot. I don't follow him.
Oh, you should.
Following him now.
As plug, as we speak. I would love to see her back in the mix. Apparently, she was almost brought back in season like 15 or 16, but didn't. But she doesn't. I don't think she even lives in the OC anymore. I think she's like from St. Louis or something.
Well, doesn't Heather Dubrow live in Beverly Hills? So,
but I don't even think she lives in the state, Mama.
Fuck it, we ball. I would say, to your point, they need like you don't lose Heather now. Like it's like Heather just came back, and
yeah,
she,
don't and ice she, her out that much.
And she feuded with Gina and Emily, and then like they like got close. She feuded with Noella. Noella got kicked off the show, and now it's like feud with Tamara, feud with Shannon, but don't let it get to a point where you leave the show, because we need to keep bringing the original.
But you know, the thing about Heather is I think she loves fame, and this is giving her fame back. And I don't think she's going to leave because of that. I think we're pretty much wrapped up on this. This was like it was a good episode. We wrapped up the dinner, or we wrapped up the trip. We had that dinner where Heather, we start to see the Tamara, Shannon, and Heather kind of friendship breakup. That's
Tamara and Shannon get together. And honestly, you know, the more I see of Shannon, the more I like that y'all assigned me her as her in our
she's unhinged. Amigas. And as
like,
are you.
I like when she gets mad because she doesn't. She honestly work, Mama.
She was like, and I'm pissed off.
I'm mad.
I was really fucking pissed.
Like, I was scared, honestly.
Like after I reconnected with this beautiful woman after 2 years, I'm pissed.
Yeah, yeah. She should have been. Taylor is doing
but it,
amazing.
It kind of leads to, they're kind of proving Heather's point, where she's like, after 2 years, like, y'all are icing me out, and like, this little statement is getting you so pissed because y'all are finally together, and it's like, there's no room for me. And she's like, I've known you guys just this long, and like, I want to be part of this crew and not have to like feel iced out like the new girls. Like, I want to be I've been in this mix longer than you, Shannon, you know?
And then, speaking of the new girls, Jennifer Pedranti, we need to protect her at all costs.
I'm really just excited that we are seeing her. She's doing good. And it's like, I just know that that's gonna brew with her and Tamara, and it's gonna get bad. I mean, Tamara throws a napkin in her face. I think that we have a lot of good. Emily wasn't even in these episodes. Emily's such an antagonist that I think
was Emily this whole time?
COVID. She wasn't this episode. Her daughter went to that modeling thing. I'm gonna be honest, guys, I washed the dishes during that scene. I had to.
I
needed to eat a smoothie or drink a smoothie, and the dishes were dirty, and that Emily came on.
I low-key love Emily. I think that
I love her.
She might be one of my favorite. I don't know. There's something about her. Like, I want to black out at like a country bar with her. I feel like she's the kind of
speaking
girl
of new faces, new face and new body. Ain't no miles on this here new body. Ain't fuck Emily. You fuck body. The old body.
You ain't fuck Emily. You fuck the old body.
The old body.
Miles on this here new body. Off with these heads. These bitches is nobody. I skipped a line by accident.
Okay, but I thought you were gonna add Ozempic in there, and I was gonna be like, work.
No. She's doing great, sweetie. Overall, happy. Overall, I'm very happy. The white water rafting was really funny, and yeah, I'm just excited to see Vicky.
I'm excited to see Vicky too. I think this Gina storyline is interesting. I think her thinking that Heather's turning on her, all of it's very interesting. I think we truly have a fabulous season of The Real Housewives of Orange County on our hands, and I'm so excited. Thank God. Speaking of not fabulous seasons, we're going to get into a very, very, very short, very, very short Atlanta recap.
slap you in the throat.
You're going to cut somebody the way you can cut them.
No, well, I wasn't trying to cut you. I mean, I said I'd flip you over the couch.
We're going to hug.
We're in the middle of the restaurant.
You look great.
But my mom, I will say, one of the only good things about the bitch is her jeans. Yeah.
The only good thing about the bitch. I cannot take it.
Bitch, you know I just speak my mind. It may not be right, but.
I love these girls. There's a love, a respect for each other. We go to dinners, go have drinks, you know, just checking on each other. Past drama isn't worth holding on to. And to be honest, I don't remember a lot of it.
Is that Kim Zolciak?
Is that Kim Zolciak? The only thing I really want to talk about from Atlanta is, one, Kenya Moore looked really fucking horrible when she came very late to that Mommy Nation thing. And I understand why, because she truly looked a mess. The hair was a mess. The makeup was a mess. The outfit was a mess. Mama was frazzled, boots down. She did not want to be there. I've said this in the beginning. This season isn't working because Candy and Kenya don't want to be there and they're not playing the game, but we're not even going to get into that and casting in any of it. Let's just talk about the OG dinner because that was a shining light.
I just have to say real quick, I don't know anything about what happened with Mommy Nation because that's when I went up to wash dishes. Okay. As soon as the OG dinner was over, I moved on. So the OG dinner, you know, it's funny that I just watched, like, the same day, earlier that day on Sunday, was the first time I saw the Nene Girls and Gays All White Never Forget Party Seafood Soiree, because is that Kim Zolciak? She finally came back again.
She had a lot of energy on her.
She had a lot of something. And I just forget. Here's the thing. Kim had work done.
She looked good, though. She
looks really good. And here's the thing. Kim is someone who is so beautiful on the outside and so ugly on the inside.
How I like my housewives.
No, but it's like all the, okay. So I thought she was just wretched, but funny in her original run. And then I Googled her and I was like, holy shit, she got so much work done. Her lips look. And I was really excited to see her again in season 10. Cause I was like, she's gorgeous now. I expected like a gorgeous person's behavior. And instead what I got was, hey, like her very like abrasive,
she's
like
very,
trailer
she's very
park.
Crass. Yeah.
Like someone who like she definitely like lives in the trailer next to you. And like it is asking you for like laundry detergent, but like you've already said yes the last 6 days in a row. And it's like, girl, go buy your own, but she's out of food stamps. That's how it feels. And
you can buy laundry detergent off food stamps.
She came on that bitch mad as hell. She walked in there and was just immediately loud and obnoxious. And I was like,
but
oh,
I loved
wow.
It.
Like,
the second that she came on the screen, I said, oh, we need Kim back. She started moving the storyline along. Storyline from decades ago.
Oh, that bitch
she
is still alive.
She's like, oh, that bitch is still alive. I can't stand that bitch. She was like, oh, I went to Portia's wedding and I hugged Candy, but fuck her. She's like, I'll never forgive her. She's like, Lisa, I don't even know if I like you. Like, she came
okay,
in
can
that
we talk
bitch.
About how drunk Lisa Wu clearly was in that?
She was lit up.
Lisa, woohoo.
Lisa Wu.
Because yeah.
She was like, let's get boozing. I liked her energy. I love Wig and Sheree. Like, they're such a duo. And I love how she was like, who's gonna be on this trip to Portugal? Which is the first time we've heard of this trip to Portugal. And she was like, oh, Marlo. I love Marlo. Like, she's just clearly trying to get back in the mix and talking about her. She wants production and she wants the audience. Standing with each and every cast member.
Yeah.
Each and every.
I think it's really likely that we get Kim back. Like, I know I've already said it, but if we could get Kim, Portia, and Nene, triple fucking homicide, bitch. We could, like,
I think it's
turn the ship around.
I think it's very likely that we get Portia and Kim back next season for sure. And I think even if Kim comes back as a friend, which I don't think she should, I think she should be full time because we need inside that home. We've discussed it. I don't know if we have or not, but the divorce is now off. There was body cam footage from a cop that came into the scene, and Kim has allegedly gambled $1.5 million away of the family's assets. And woo! A lot going on, as Mary Cosby once said.
She does strike me as someone who would gamble all the money away.
She does, and she is looking gaunt and thin, and I'm not saying Ozempic or other substances are at play, but That is not the face of a normal human. And I want to see her back on my screen. I got nothing else for Atlanta. It was honestly kind of a really snoozy episode other than that 100%. OG dinner.
Like, I think we're going to just continue to say that week after week until they prove us wrong. Overall, season 15 probably going to go down in history as one of their most weak seasons. But hey, we got an OG dinner. Deshaun Snow, shout out to you. I honestly like kind of forgot about you. And you were looking really good. Like, I love the hair. I love the outfit. I like the beat. So
the beat was very nice.
We're all gonna buy it.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know where to find us, About_Bravo. Patreon is linked to this episode. We have 3 more coming at you very, very soon. Bye.
Yeah.